The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Today is Miss Lara Badin Semper, clinical psychologist, and she's here to talk about self-care more than just bubble baths. Let's welcome Miss Lara. Good morning to you, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Miss Lara, I believe your mic is muted, so we're not hearing you if you are saying something.
Right, let's go again. Hi, sorry about that. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning, yes, and I'm welcome.
My name's Lara Badin Semper, yes, and I'm a psychologist, and I'm primarily a psychotherapist, so I'm about helping people to live their best life, live the life they want to be living.
And today we're speaking about self-care. Can we define that first? What is regarded as self-care?
Well, you know, as the title of the show suggests, self-care is more than just bubble baths. We often go, our go-to is a kind of pampering, massage, candles, bubble baths. Nothing is wrong with any of that, even if you even have a bathtub. And I like a hot tub as much as anyone else. These are good things. But self-care goes a lot deeper. You know, with a psychological perspective, it goes a lot deeper than that. And so today I would like to look at self-care as something more than just pampering. It's an act of attunement, tuning into your inner world and what you actually need in the moment. Maybe also as an act of inner leadership, being directed by what's coming up within you rather than the many demands of our external life. Often we're just focused externally, pay the bills, keep going, parenting, keeping up, whatever it is, but we're not tuning into our inner experience. We're not taking care of ourselves. We're not taking care of our nervous system, because our world asks us to measure our worth so much by what we produce, how productive we are, how well we perform. You know, this version of self-care can become a kind of radical and healing act.
Now, as you defined self-care as more than bubble baths, how important it is to take that time for self-care?
I mean, it's incredibly important, because if we don't, you know, all the ways we try to push ourselves to keep going and going, we end up getting sick. We can't actually perform the way we want to. If we're not truly caring for ourselves in a healing and healthful way, then in the end, we can't keep performing. We can keep going, maybe in the 20s, maybe in our 30s, we can keep going. But as we get older, the lack of true self-care starts to take a toll. And then maybe we're going to see the lifestyle illnesses. We're going to see mental health challenges. We're going to see loss of quality of our relationships. We're going to be stressed. We're going to be tired. We're going to be burnt out.
You know, you mentioned one of those words that have started surfacing, especially as post-COVID, and especially with the conversation with our young people entering school and the traumas that have been in terms of violence in schools, etc., burnout. Can you define what burnout is and ways that we could recognize that individuals are going through burnout?
Well, I think burnout is a term that's used in a variety of ways in a variety of arenas. So sometimes it's going to look like exhaustion, nervous system exhaustion. It might look like depression. It might look like chronic illness. It might look like unable to perform in our regular tasks. You know, so I think people are using it in a variety of ways, but to me, I will say if someone's saying they're burnt out, I'm like, okay, what are you not able to do anymore? And what is happening instead? And I understand it as a form of that nervous system we've been trying to keep going so hard for so long that we just don't have it anymore.
And are there any tips to prevent burnout?
Well, that is kind of like what we're here to talk about. What is self-care? If self-care is not just pampering or buying a new product that's supposed to fix us, what actually is self-care? And self-care is, you know, I think we need to begin to reframe it. It's not self-indulgent to care for ourselves. It's an act of self-preservation. Self-care is in a world that, you know, doesn't value rest, that doesn't really value softness, that doesn't value tuning into emotions or showing emotions. Self-care might be doing all of those things. You know, we're conditioned, get up early, go to work, do everything you have to do, come home, do more, you know, go to bed late and repeat, rinse and repeat over and over again, giving, giving, giving. And that is not really self-care. You know, self-care is a kind of radical act if it's asking us to tune into what we really need to say to ourselves, I matter, my inner needs matter, my humanity matters. It's quite a different approach to life as we know it.
Mm-hmm. And
what could that look like? You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
What could that look like? That would have been my next question.
Well, it could look like tuning in, like developing a relationship with your actual self inside yourself, pulling your awareness from all the productivity goals, all the things that we've been taught to strive for and achieve, the things that we think make us of value, pulling your attention away from that and actually turning your attention inside your body, inside your mind, with curiosity, with compassion. Notice, what are we feeling? What do we need? How is our body, our emotions, our energy? What's going on with them? Mm-hmm. So actually applying some care inwards rather than outwards. A lot of us have actually learned to override that, you know, to stuff down our emotions and just keep going, keep pushing, be strong, keep producing, be stoic. Mm-hmm. But when we do that for too long, you know, our body and our inside world will begin to protest. You know, we are actually humans. We might get anxious, we might get numb, we get overwhelmed because we're not attending to our actual inner needs. So it's like a simple question to ask ourselves, what's happening in me right now? And what would support me in this moment?
Is it possible that not enough attention has been given to defining what emotions are? Because you mentioned, you know, recognizing what you're feeling within your body. What if you can't tell one emotion from the other?
You know, I think as a therapist, that's something I commonly see when people come in. People's ability to intercept, to have an idea of what's going on is blunted. And I think that's a kind of survival. That's how we've survived. That's how we've survived our childhood. That's how we've survived the rigors of the education system. That's how we survived our work world, by suppressing a lot of our inner experience. And you're right, we don't have a culture that teaches children how to safely express emotions and allow them space to be. We're often more rewarded for being good, for keeping it in, for not showing our feelings. But it turns out that that leads in later life to anxiety, depression, burnout, the things that we're talking about, and even maybe chronic health conditions. Mm. So it's a new skill to learn, to turn your attention inside, to quietly begin to notice, well, what am I feeling? You know, is it a physical sensation? Is my heart racing? You know, am I hot? Am I cold? Is my throat tight? Is my stomach tight? How's my breathing? Even just taking a moment to ask those questions, that is something different that we don't build time for. And that is like a mindfulness practice. And I do believe it's something that it would help if we taught this more. You know, what do we see when we look inside? And becoming curious about it, we might also notice ourselves judging our inner experience. Kind of have to relax and let that soften so that we can approach our inner experience with curiosity, with compassion, and then we can begin to ask, what do we need? Mm-hmm. What are we afraid of? What do we need? What's coming up for us right now?
Can we discuss the relationship between health issues and the lack of self-care?
Well, I think it's complex. There will be a lot to it. So I can give maybe an example from my life. Mm-hmm. Would be I look at us as being beings made up of subpersonalities. So I would say I have a part or a subpersonality that really likes to eat things that are not very healthy for me. You know, I have an autoimmune disease, so it's very much better if I don't eat anything sweet, for example, and chocolate. I have a reaction if I eat it. Mm-hmm. But there's this part of me that just sometimes will catch me when I'm in a store. Before I know it, I've bought the thing and I'm eating it. And that part of me, you know, kind of gets me sick, right? So there's another part of me now that's like, well, I really want to be healthy. What are you doing? So then I will shame myself and be very mad with myself. Why have you done that? Look, now you've got a skin rash all again. Now your gut is upset all over again. So I'll be mad, like, with myself. And it's a kind of a, but then I'll be kind of stressed. I'll be tense. I'll also have the reaction because I ate the wrong food. We kind of multiply that day after day. I'm living in a kind of highly stressed state all the time. When I was able to slow down and sort of relate to myself in a more caring way, I kind of questioned the part of me that wants to eat. And I was able to ask, like, why are you making me eat these things right now? And it turns out it was actually tiredness. Every time I felt tired, I was reaching for something sweet to get a little lift, you know. And in understanding that, the other side of me was able to say, oh, right, well, if we're tired, maybe actually what we need to do when we get that feeling is rest more, which actually meant I had to make some lifestyle changes, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not as young as I was. I had to adjust my working hours. And in that way, I was actually able to care for myself more effectively and be more healthy. So, you know, that's like a small example. Like, when we're not attending to our inner signals, we're going to find ourselves probably in a heightened state of like fight or flight or freeze, in the heightened nervous system arousal. And we're going to look for things to compensate for that feeling, but they might not be really the healthiest things. And they're not addressing the underlying issues. And on top of that, they might be even leading to further health issues down the line. If I kept on pacifying myself with sugar, you know, next thing I'm going to end up in pre-diabetes. So I don't know if that's kind of explaining a little bit how there's a kind of complicated relationship between our inner state and the ways that we try to support ourselves, which could be healthier or could be less healthy.
Now, the terms inner voice you just mentioned, self-care, the tone of your inner voice, does that have a lot to do with the way in which you speak to yourself, guide yourself?
I would say that's a really good point, because we might have a variety of inner voices inside, and some of them, I personally have one that can be very harsh. I call it an inner critic, right? Mm-hmm. It could actually just buff me up. It might shame me. And, you know, that sets up my system for actually being even more in fight or flight or shutdown, even more in a survival state. But I have come to understand as well that that inner voice is doing it for a reason. First of all, that critical inner voice probably learned it from external people in my life, you know, in my childhood, from different ways that I was actually talked to and treated with as I grew up. And it's just learned that that is the best way to get me to do what it wants me to do, which is probably avoid criticism, be perfect. But I've also learned that softening that tone really helps me to get to whatever is underlying the behavior that I see in myself that I don't like. Eating, a lot of times that was that I was overtired and I wasn't paying attention to that. I was just pushing too hard. Mm-hmm. So as we can be, this is the part of like being in relationship with yourself, you can get a little bit clearer on what is actually happening inside and know that there's more to us than our inner critic or our comfort eater or our drinking part or whatever parts of us we have that we don't like. There's more to us. There is also a self of us who can hear all the other parts and can bring a bit of compassion, bring everyone together and kind of choose a more wise path for us.
In terms of how to change that inner voice, do you have any tips? So for example, the voice that you mentioned that's buffy when you pick up the sweets, something sweet, is there a way to soften, not to get away with eating this something sweet, but to encourage you to probably pick up a vegetable? Even saying it sounds a little ridiculous, but you know what I mean, you know?
Well, I mean, that voice in me would love if I picked up the vegetable. What has helped that one for me as a whole, really to understand the motivation behind the sweet eating. That immediately enabled that critical voice to be like, oh, now I understand. So then immediately we had like, okay, we can compromise here. You know, I know that you're eating because you're tired, so maybe I can help you address the tiredness. Yeah. You know, so it's really, again, relationship, getting to know why your inner critical voice, what makes it loud? Like if you can begin to notice when it's happening, you can then ask the question, what do you need me to know right now? Why are you getting loud in my head right now? What is happening in the situation right now that's worrying you? All of our inner parts are actually trying to protect us in some way or another. So if we can begin to listen to that voice and get curious about what activated it in any particular moment, maybe we can also begin to hear what's the underlying fear, like what critical voice, what are you afraid would happen if you didn't buff me right now? Mm-hmm. You know, and my critical voice was afraid that I would be sick all the time. It was also afraid that I'd feel tired all the time and that I wouldn't be able to be as productive as I am, as helpful as I am as a human. Those things were important to my critical voice. They were trying to make me do good, you know. So in me hearing that, I was also able to support my critical voice in a way better and say, well, you know, when you're shaming me, it's not actually helping. It might make me reach for the sugar more. Maybe we can find a different way for us all to meet this goal where I feel healthier. I'm not tired all the time. I can show up better in my work, in my life.
So can you mention another method of self-care that wouldn't be instantly recognized as that? Because as we started off, we talked about the bubble baths and, you know, probably sitting down and watching, binge watching Netflix. That may be a form of self-care, but methods that may not appear as that. Can you give an example?
I mean, you know, such a simple thing as tuning into what is, it's going to be a similar thing to what I said, but listening to what's happening in my body. Am I in fight or flight or survive mode right now? Is my heart really beating hard? Am I really tense? And if you notice that you are in that particular state, there's things that you can do to help that state. So I can put my hand on my body where I'm feeling the tension. I can just allow it to be there. I can make space. And I can just really notice it for a while and see what happens. And often if you give yourself a moment of quietness to notice maybe your racing heart, it might begin to calm down. So this is like a small cue of safety for your body, noticing when you're tense and attending to it rather than just ignoring it and pushing it away, kind of moving towards whatever your body is showing you, being more in tune with that and giving yourself a little bit of space to listen, to go slow, to use that kind inner voice, to caring for yourself on a physiological kind of level.
And in terms of distinguishing the voices, because, I mean, when you think about mind matters and mental health, if it is someone is talking about, well, my inner voice tells me this, that, someone who is not as compassionate as you mentioned may think, well, you probably going insane. So how do we distinguish the inner voice, the voice that is meant to protect, and the intuition that propels you towards taking care of yourself?
Well, I think that there's a lot in that question. So firstly, I would say that we will all have probably a variety of inner voices. Maybe a part of us that's always anxious, a part of us that feels fear, a part of us that wants to be strong all the time. That's normal. That, you know, that's not saying that something is wrong with you or something different. That's a little bit of how the human psyche is so good at adapting to a variety of situations and surviving. So that, just want to normalize that, that having inner voice is actually a normal thing. And intuition, I mean, maybe intuition, you know, that's a hard thing to define, but I think it might come from our deepest inner knowing. It's a kind of sense that modern scientific rational thinking maybe steers us away from a little bit the deeper inner knowing. And how do we distinguish between maybe a loud inner voice and our wisest intuition? That's patience, patience and practice. The more you listen, I would say the intuition will come from a place of calm, of courage, of seeking connection, of clarity. Maybe those kind of feelings will come with the deeper intuition. Whereas when it's one about inner voices, it might be more angry, it might be harsh, it might be more agendered, you know, it might be more reactive. We might, you know, like my eating was kind of reactive. It would happen without me even thinking about it. So that might be how I distinguish between my sort of deeper knowing and my more protective outer parts that are trying to just deal with day-to-day life. And we all have access to that deep intuition, but life kind of, it almost teaches us not to trust our inner knowing, but the life, the modern life that we're living, you know, we move away, a lot of life has moved away from time to reflect, time to meditate, trust of your inner knowing, and more like book sense and productivity, you know.
Now, in terms of that disconnect, because you said a lot within that little statement there, the way in which the world is bombarded with information and the fast pace, is it suggested or welcomed if you take yourself out of that busy space to actually be able to differentiate which sense or inner voice is dictating your internal pace?
I mean, yes, but also we have to live, right? That's the reality.
Listen,
of the demands. We have to earn our money. We have to look after our kids. We have to pay our bills. We have to live. So it doesn't have to be a complete removal. It's not a either or. It's a and. Yes, we live in this life. And can I take 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. Can I just shut it down for 5 minutes, pull myself away from social media, away from everything else, close my eyes, breathe? You can do it in 2 minutes. We could do it right now. You can literally pull your attention from the outside world and begin to notice what's happening on the inside. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's really hard, you know, because you've got, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. But you can bring it in, mm-hmm. gradually pull it in, begin to just notice the sounds around you without having to listen, permission to not do anything, just for a minute. Mm-hmm. Close my eyes so that then I can have more focus on my inside space. Can I notice my breath? I don't need to change it. I don't need to fix it. But can I even just begin to notice it's like rise and it's fall? Can I tune in to the sensations happening in my body in this moment? Is there tension? Is there pressure? Can I feel my seat beneath me or my feet on the ground? Can I feel the temperature? No need to fix, just giving yourself that moment. If I do notice something, can I just offer it my awareness and see what happens to what I notice, what I'm noticing? Does that tension change? Does it move? Do I get a next thought that flows in or an image? Is there something that in me needs attention in this moment? And what kind of attention does it need? And simple as that, maybe then you've got an idea of what might actually be meaningful self-care for you in that moment.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I'm hoping someone who has just went through those questions not driving at the point in time, because that was the most relaxing 2-3 minutes. I'm sure how many people have connected with that. So in essence, if we, you know, get a list of questions like that and take that 10-15 minutes out of the day in a quiet space to ask these questions, would that really put us on a better path of self-care and understanding our world as how we can function within it?
I believe so. I believe that's the beginning. You know, it's not everything that can change. So sometimes is how do I support myself with the things that I have to do? Is there a small change that I can make that even though I have to do these things that would support me better? Sometimes it's a change would be asked for from your inner world. Sometimes a boundary. Sometimes learning to say no, sometimes learning to say yes to different opportunities, you know, it's going to be a different thing. But even a small practice, it can be really small. It can literally be 5 minutes. What might make it more powerful is if you journal and write down your insights and then kind of come back to it. That's like showing yourself that you are here for real. You're really here to support yourself and you mean it, so that when stuff comes up, you kind of honor what comes up and you come back to it. But yeah, I think that can make a huge difference. I think that is how we make the real difference, building a relationship with our inner world to balance off what often is actually happening, where a lot of our focus is on the outer world at the expense of, you know, our true inner balance. I believe we're self-healing beings, but the conditions have to be right. And unless we're giving that attention inside, conditions are not right. So we'll be compromising ourselves just to keep going for the outer world.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I know a list. Okay, so automatically my mind is like, can you give us a list of all of those parameters that you just gave out there so that you can figure out and set up that space? Because more and more, it is important to take that time in the hustle and bustle of the world as it is, where social media, the news. I mean, we just went through a couple of months of back and forth trying to decide who should be, you know, in the position of power in our country. And I think we still have some residual tension and we would need a mental day, as they call it, you know, to de-stress. Yeah. So I'm basically asking, if there are guidelines that you can set up that safe space, what would be some of the guidelines you would give?
Well, there's apps that can, so we're talking about kind of like mindful meditation. That's what that was. That was like a mindfulness meditation, and having a guide, a voice to guide you into it can really help. So there's things like an app called Insight Timer and other apps like that, that people can use to, you know, help them set up that state that I was, you know, helping to guide you into just a couple minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So those are ways. It can be, might be partly scheduling it into your day. You know, can you give yourself a 5 minutes in the morning, or it's a 5 minutes in the evening? It could be even while you're walking or doing something else. Those things can be combined. Different forms of meditation might work for different people.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say that, you know, you're very right about the external world being a constant source of stress and activation in the nervous system, you know, coming off of an election, but also global events happening all the time. And in an age where we consume so much media, sometimes it can be pulling away from that, maybe just for a few minutes, to also pay attention to what's happening on the inside of you.
All right. And finally, are there any, well, you just said it's apps, but would there be any programs that the association would be offering to those who are willing and interested in doing self-care or setting up safe spaces for that self-care for others?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because obviously other ways of doing that is to do any form of meditation and join a meditation group. And Trinidad and Tobago Association of Psychologists, we are having a conference this year, mm-hmm. and that will be in October the 11th, and that will be for professionals, but also for regular citizens, anybody who's interested in mental health, and there'll be conversations that do delve into a variety of aspects of mental health, and self-care is a big part of that, so I'd encourage anyone interested to come along to that.
Mm-hmm.
And from time to time, there are offerings, you know, that, and when those come up, the Trinidad and Tobago Association of Psychologists or TTAP website is a place to find out about offerings that come up. And they have a social media presence, so you can follow them on Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm.
As well as in the listing offered by the TTAP, there's, you know, different therapists and what they might offer along these kind of lines. So you can find me there and many other therapists doing this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. I would like to thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to us, Ms. Baden-Semper, about self-care, the definition of it, because I know some of us thinking it's a glass of Chardonnay with cucumbers around the eyes in the bathtub, you know, music playing, and that's the level of self-care. But there's more to it than that.
There's more to it than that. The relationship with yourself, choosing yourself, to meet yourself with compassion, that's a healing act, you know, right there.
And any final tips, last tips that you want to give before you go?
I would say that it's increasingly important. The world today is moving at a fast pace, as we just spoke about, with what's happening in the world, what's happening in our country, the demands of your job and keeping up. It's caring for the parts of us that are trying so hard, noticing how hard we try, noticing that impact inside of ourselves. Just meeting ourselves with that compassion and building a relationship with ourselves, I think it's just a hugely important act for your ongoing health, especially mm-hmm. as we get older.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time once again. And we will meet again next week for another session of Mind Matters. This is Lara Baden-Semper, clinical psychologist. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.